Good evening, everyone. It's Wednesday night. It's just 7 o'clock, and we're here on the West Coast. And we're in the midst of a remarkable experiment working with the ABD guidebook by E.J. Gold. And it's a book that is separated into three parts. We're in the middle section now, and we're delving into the material by forming subgroups that read the material. The names of these different books are a portion of the names of the 99 Names of God, which is posted on the website.
Thank you.
Wingsofchaos.com under ABD Guidebook. And these are entities that are getting, in a sense, the opportunity to express themselves, to spread their wings. And so we're fortunate enough to have the next part of the Book 4 presentation tonight. Prior to that, I want to do a little bit of housekeeping, just be about a couple more minutes. And first of all, the next book that comes up, Book 5, is also a mature group that will be presenting in a few weeks.
We will be ready to present our first piece next week.
So Book 4 may conclude tonight, and that means Book 5 will be ready to go the following week. Group number 6, Sobadale, are you on?
I am.
And how are you guys proceeding?
Well, we've not made a lot of progress. Right now we're trying to coordinate our first group meeting, and hopefully we'll do that in the next day or two.
Good, because we don't know what the schedule for 5 is, and we're hoping you can schedule right after they've completed their presentation. So
okay.
If you need some help, let me know. Let me know, let Pat know,
yes.
And we'll help get that one going too. The Book 8 is also claimed.
Yes, we are.
And that group will take that on. Book 7 is, I will lead that group. And it's, so we haven't even formed yet. I think Panny is going to be part of it.
That's right.
Myself. And if you'd like to be part of Book 7, then let me know one way or another, and you'll be part of that. So,
that's right. Book 7 is a good book to be part of. And I would like to introduce something here, just in case folks haven't read ahead, or even if you had, you might have missed it. There is an unnumbered book. It is called the Transitional Book, and it comes after Book 8, Ul Aziz, and it is called the Transitional Book of the Dead, called the Book of Ul Jabbar.
Yes.
So just because we are going to have our group scheduled up through Book 8, we will be needing a transitional book group. And if you've been hesitating to join a subgroup and study with others together in depth, I highly recommend Transitional Book of the Dead, because it has so many interesting, unusual, and astonishing elements to it that you would be drawn in. I'm just going to read you one tiny, tiny little piece. You get the feel from the Book of the Dead called the Book of Ul Jabbar. I am he whose will compels all, everyone and everything, regardless of their individual natures. That is verse 1 of the Transitional Book of the Dead called the Book of Ul Jabbar. And if you'd like to raise your hand and wave it, i.e. put a little note in the chat, send us an email, or tell your neighbor,
That's the book after eight.
That's the book after eight.
You can just say the book after eight. Yes, I want to do that.
Yeah.
Also, if you want to do seven, they need to let us know.
Yeah.
And here's an interesting thing. I realize that a lot of people don't participate because they can't come Wednesday night, or they can't participate in the presentation. Anybody at any time can participate in a subgroup, even though they can't do the participation, which I'm hoping Ivan is doing that with book six. And the point of that is, most of the subgroups meet early in the day, so it accommodates the Europeans and the Indians. And so,
and people with work schedules.
People
that are
with
on the
work
East
schedules
Coast,
or the East Coast.
Or in the middle of the country.
So all of that can be accommodated. So if there's something you want to do, then you're part of the mix of figuring out when is the best time to meet. So you can participate, even though you can't come Wednesday, and you may not be able to do the presentation. So that being the case, that's all for now. You can put something in the log if you have questions, and we'll address that a little later. But right now, what I'd like to do is for us to slow down a minute, gather our wits in a sense, and focus on what we're going to be doing tonight. And that is to work on the next presentation of the ABD guidebook, which I'll hand over to Pat now.
We have a small comment. Yes, go ahead.
Well, Laura 34 says that she's interested in book seven.
Thank you.
Thank
Wonderful.
You, Laura 34.
Wonderful.
Okay, so that's, and then we'll pick up any other of those a little bit later on. And but right now, are we ready to?
We are ready, and I'm just going to check. We had one of our group members wasn't yet with us on the phone. I just want to check that before we begin. Shacoba Light, are you there with us on the phone? Okay, I don't hear her there, so that will mean that there will be three of us reading the text for you this evening, for our final presentation on our journey through the fourth Book of the Dead called the Book of Ul Kuduz. This time, I would very much appreciate it if each of you could take the time to turn away from the screen and to close your eyes or otherwise, you know, relax your facial muscles, but really remove yourself from the electronic access and participate solely by hearing, which might be the way that you hear it when you need it. Please begin Pianjo, followed by Russell Spark, followed by Clear Light.
The fourth book of the dead called the Book of Ul Kuduz, verse 1. I am beyond any description, any imagination, any wonder. I am beyond any expansion of consciousness and beyond any depths to which the innermost reveries of consciousness could wander. I am so free from qualities and characteristics that no man can understand or conceive of my reality.
Sorry. Two. Can you hear me? Sorry.
Verse two.
Okay.
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. I had it muted by mistake. Sorry.
Verse two, Mustafa Spark.
Okay,
verse two. And this is because man looks to himself and to to his own qualities to measure my reality according to his own reality.
Three, and man tries to understand my reality by giving me his own qualities in a perfected form. And man calls his own qualities of knowledge, power, hearing, sight, and speech perfections when they are complete, subtle, and positive, under the will of the universe.
But this is not the perfection or the reality of Kudus, the most holy. And it is nothing but the idea of man's own perfection projected into the spiritual skies of heaven.
Five. These are the instructions for the first to seventh days of the unfolding of the primal forms of consciousness.
Six. And it has come to pass that you shall be compelled to pass through the full realm of transit. And this has come about despite all the previous confrontations.
Seven. And the daily dangers which you must now meet and overcome during the next 7 days are next explained in detail.
Eight. Now, the first day of the unfolding of the primal forms of consciousness is reckoned from the time of the passing from the secondary clear light into the dawning of the lucid clarity of consciousness of the fourth or fifth day after the death of the body.
Nine. These are the instructions for the first day of karmic apparitions caused by the breaking up of the phenomenal world into the primal elements of consciousness.
10. And it has come to pass that you have remained in a fainting swoon for the past 4 days. Now that you have recovered from this swoon, you will realize what has occurred.
11. And you shall look around and recognize the transit world. And the world of matter will be all in an uproar. And the apparitions and phenomena you shall now see before you shall all be individual appearances of the primary elements of consciousness. And they shall be called the guides.
12. And the space surrounding you shall appear you blue in color. And the matrix matrix of space shall appear to you now. The matrix of space is the guide who is in reality the primal element of space, the realm in which all phenomena arise.
13. And the element called space is the matrix of all matter resolved into its spiritual form.
14. Now, a blinding blue light will strike you, and it will come from the heart of the guide, who is neither male nor female. And the light shall strike you in the heart. And with the brilliant blue light, there shall also appear a soft white light. And soft white light shall also strike you in your heart.
15. And if you have attachment to the world of matter, you will want to run and you will fear the brilliant blue light.
16. And it shall come to pass that there shall be no place in which to hide, but the soft white light. And the soft white light is the light of the world of the gods.
17. And if you are able to give up your attachments to the things of the world of matter, the brilliant blue light shall dissolve them away. And with all the attachments, the brilliant blue light shall also dissolve the sense of ego and tendencies toward habitual actions and thoughts.
And if you become drawn to the soft white light of the world of the gods, you shall be born into it. And though it seems more pleasing and less to fear, it is an obstruction to liberation, but not to awakening.
19. Now you should welcome the brilliant blue light and bathe in it and baptize yourself in it. It is the cleansing of the spirit, and in that you should rejoice.
20. And this is the prayer which you should repeat with me.
21. Alas, when wandering in the world through ignorance and error on the path of radiance of the wisdom of the matrix of space, may I be cleansed and guided by the inexorable wisdom the world of reality.
22. And may the guide, who is neither male nor female, be my protector. May I be brought safely across the shocking and confusing dangers of the transit world. And may I be changed into the state of the luminous, shining void.
23. And by praying in that way, in intense and humble faith, you shall merge in a halo of rainbow light into the heart of the luminous void, and you shall attain completion as the seed of all universal existence, and you shall dwell forever in the realm of the kingdom.
This completes this reading of the fourth book of the deck of the book of Ul Produce. And now if you can pull up the music, the next presentation we have is a meditation with sound. The meditation is the statement from the composer. The music is trying to express the difficulties man might have in trying to understand God's reality. Book 4, Ul Kaddush, verses 1 to 4. Thank you. Next portion of our presentation will be offered from Piancho.
This commentary will be on verse 18 of the Book of Ut Kadus. 18. And if you become drawn to the soft white light of the world of the gods, you shall be born into it. And though it seems more pleasing and less to fear, it is an obstruction to liberation, but not to awakening. The last line of this verse has always sparked curiosity in this observer, especially the last word where it is stated that in the world of the gods, it is an obstruction to liberation, but not to awakening. It seems that this is a window into a deeper understanding of not only this rather short book, but of the entire text as well. So let's see if we can open it up a little and take a peek inside. The world of the gods is called Devaloka, and according to Chogyam Trungpa, it is, quote, the realm of pride. Pride in the sense of building one's own centralized body, preserving one's own health. In other words, it is intoxication with the existence of ego. This was taken from the Tibetan Book of the Dead, page 10, close quote. This may be why the verse says, it seems more pleasing and less to fear, but is still an obstacle to liberation, because creatures born into this realm still want something, still want to do or be or have something, which sustains the ego and therefore prevents liberation, despite how nice the environment may be. Pursuant to the task of understanding the caveat, but not to awakening, it seemed that asking for the insights of some of our fellow voyagers would be a wise thing to do. So Clearlight and Silverdale were both queried, and both contributed considerable insight into the meaning of this verse. Clearlight stated that while the locale may be more pleasing than in the other five worlds of the lower dimensions of the labyrinth, there is still enough friction in it to allow the individual to realize that he or she is in the dream, thereby allowing for awakening to continue, even though the bonds of ego have not yet been broken. Silverdale pointed out that the six lower worlds are different gradations of unconsciousness, and at the top of these worlds we find the world of the gods. It constitutes a space that we enter just before a tipping point is reached and our center of gravity at last moves from the biological machine to the essential self. This can occur only when the conscious habits of self-observation and self-remembering have become dominant in the essential self, and the essential self has become fully awake. Only by becoming fully awake can it die to its identification with the life of the machine. This final transfer of our center of gravity from machine to our essence represents the culmination of a very long process, and some believe that the experience of the world of the gods is the immediate precursor to this transformation. It can even be said that spiritual pride is the last spoke on the wheel of existence to be transcended. I would like to conclude with a short quote from Carl Jung. The whole world wants peace, and the whole world prepares for war. Mankind is powerless against mankind. And the gods, as ever, show us the way of fate. Thank you.
Wow. So grateful that that's going to be posted or is posted on the webpage so that I can ponder it some more. Thank you so much, Panjo. I was just saying to David as we were listening, I'm so grateful for this class. It just astonishes me how much there is to offer up in one line, one word. It's just wonderful. I'm looking now for the commentary from Moosebull Spark on his verse. I asked folks to pick their favorite, or I selected for them. So Moosebull Spark, I believe, is going to give some commentary on verse 22.
Yep. So verse 22, again, is, and may the guide, who is neither male nor female, be my protector. May I be brought safely across the shocking and confusing dangers of the transit world, and may I be changed into the state of the luminous, shining void. I don't know what I could say about this that would be helpful to anyone else, but I can speak from my present perspective. This verse is the second half of the prayer which we are asked to repeat with Ulkudus, the first half of which asks to be cleansed and guided by the inexorable wisdom of reality. I find it personally encouraging that the first guide, after the clear light, is neither male nor female. That, to me, suggests that there is a higher, more essential, formless reality that transcends all apparent differences of form and sexuality. And I think of this text as perhaps being similar in meaning to the last paragraph in Chamber 17, which goes, I know, I have always somehow known that just behind even the most solid, implacable form, behind all the attention-demanding events of life, all the grotesque, unsatisfying sexual contortions of matter and energy, somewhere behind that grinding, writhing wall of flesh, that grinning mask of death, if I can only find the means to dissolve it, to penetrate beyond it, the Beloved waits patiently while I grope blindly for the key that opens the door of solid form. So then I say, I'm glad that the Beloved is so patient. In the next two lines, the one praying asks for help in being brought safely through the dangers of transit and to be changed into the state of the luminous, shining void. This part may be like setting an intention based on experience with the teachings and previous experience in the macro dimensions, or beloved. And that's all I had for that.
And let me just put you on the spot here for a moment, Municipal Spark. Thank you for sharing that. But when we originally looked at this and we talked about 22 and 23, because 23 closes this chamber, your response was, if I recall correctly, go ahead, say it.
That it seemed a little daunting, number 23, verse 23. So, yeah.
A little daunting. That's so accurate. All of this is very daunting. Thank you for waging your way through that. Yes. Verse 22. Yes. Especially appreciate the references, and you're speaking mm-hmm. of chamber 17 in the red ABD, correct?
Yeah,
that's a wonderful image to give, especially right now when we've just come through the clear light phase and now we're at the beginning phase of all of the changes. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. I'm going to check again. Is Shacoba Light on now? Are you on there on the phone? Okay. Well, we will follow up with another piece from Piangio and Municipal Spark, and I'll tell you the context of this. I wanted to give a summation of book four, but as Municipal Spark indicated, it is daunting. It is a massive book, even though there's only 23 lines. There's so much going on. So I picked the English teacher's remedy for this. The exercise was, what are the recurrent themes which Piangio is going to present for us, and what are the pitfalls that are presented visually and image and emotionally, and then Shacoba Light was going to offer us what are the remedies. So we'll begin with Piangio and see where we go.
Well, fortunately, this observation here is a little shorter. So this part of our presentation is to address the presence of recurring themes in Book 4, as well as the first three books previously studied, and four such themes suggested themselves. Number one, there is a transcendent reality so far removed from our ordinary experience that we cannot reach or understand it. Yet somehow it reaches us. It has many names: essence, the essential self, the luminous shining void, the luminosity, emptiness, Allah, or God, or some that we use in this class. It is our innermost reality, but remains, in the absence of specific efforts, difficult to find. It seems we fear most that which keeps us from it, the loss of our cherished notion of a separate self. Number two, our biggest obstacles to accessing this reality are due to the projections of our own thoughts and emotions and nothing more. If life seems hopeless, it is because we have made it so, and shall remain so as long as we believe it to be true. The opposite is also true. Number three, this reality, also called the beloved, exists for only one purpose, and one purpose alone, and that is to liberate us. How long this takes is entirely up to us. Number four, this reality is embedded in our biological machines, weaving emptiness with form. Both are necessary. As we are, the machine runs our lives. When the teaching finds us and we begin the work, this reality gradually takes over as our center of gravity. But in the end, even these distinctions are illusions. I would like to conclude with a brief quote from Taishin, an early Chinese scholar quoted in Red Pine's book, The Heart Sutra. Thus it says, emptiness is not separate from form. The true emptiness of prajna is like a huge round mirror, and every illusory form is like an image in the mirror. Once you know that images don't exist apart from the mirror, you know emptiness is not separate from form. Thank you.
Thank you. The pitfalls, movable sparks, give us your suggestions of pitfalls as they have occurred to you.
Okay. Well, just looking at the whole fourth book, it starts with the discussion of the vast difference between man's perceptions of the transcendent reality, and as you know, identification with the organism or the body or the man, the creature, makes that understanding of the transcendent difficult or impossible, I guess. So, and then as we go on, there's the continual falling into sleep, like the fainting swoon that you recover from eventually. So you're constantly partly awake and partly asleep, and feeling probably that you have not much control over any of that. So that, and then in verse 11, there's the world of matter will be all in an uproar. So you've got a sense of awesome commotion, again feeling of helplessness, probably, I don't know. And then you got verse 14, the light, the blending blue light striking you, and also the white light strikes you. So both of those experiences probably would be shocking. And so then the tendency is either to open and accept and become free, I guess, or try to escape from that experience. So that would be a pitfall if you're, trying to escape from the experience of the higher, the transcendent.
Right.
And verse 15 is, again, the same thing that you'd want to run if you have attachments. So all your attachments are, again, the same thing that creates the desire to run. So that's a pitfall, so the attachments themselves. And and then the very end, what I found daunting about the 23rd verse is the saying, praying in intense and humble faith. So That's quite a combination, intensity and humility.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next line, well, you know, as soon as you talk about attaining something, then that, I don't know, it's a language that seems a little different from humility, but I don't, so I don't really understand the connection between those two.
Right.
Yeah.
Seems like you've covered just about all of the spoken pitfalls from this text. Is it okay if I interrupt you?
Absolutely.
Basically finished, I think so.
So, for our final presentation, we're going to take you on the journey of this book in reverse. We will begin at the end, and we will finish at the beginning. And again, I would welcome your participation with acute hearing that maybe put all the other senses on pause and be still and silent and hear the words. 23. And by praying that way in intense and humble faith, you shall merge in a halo of rainbow light into the heart of the luminous void, and you shall attain completion as the seed of all universal existence. And you shall dwell forever in the realm of the kingdom. 22. And may the guide, who is neither male nor female, be my protector. May I be brought safely across shocking and confusing dangers of the transit world, and may I be changed into the state of the luminous, shining void.
21. Alas, when wandering in the world through ignorance and error, on the path of radiance, of the wisdom of the matrix of space, may I be cleansed
and guided
by the inexorable wisdom of the world of reality.
And this is the prayer which you should repeat with me. 19. Now you should welcome the brilliant blue light and bathe in it and baptize yourself in it. It is the cleansing of the spirit, and in that you should rejoice.
18. And if you become drawn to the soft white light of the world of the gods, you shall be born into it. And though it seems more pleasing and less to fear, it is an obstruction to liberation, but not to awakening. 17. And if you are able to give up your attachments to the things of the world of matter, brilliant blue light shall dissolve them away. And with all the attachments, the brilliant blue light shall also dissolve the sense of ego and tendency toward habitual actions and thoughts.
16. And it shall come to pass that there shall be no place in which to hide but the soft white light. And the soft white light is the light of the world of the gods. 15. And if you have attachments to the world of matter, you will want to run, and you will fear the brilliant blue light.
Now, a blinding blue light will strike you, and it will come from the heart of the guide, who is neither male nor female, and the light shall strike you in the heart. And with the brilliant blue light, there shall also appear a soft white light, and the soft white light shall also strike you in your heart. 13. And the element called space is the matrix of all matter resolved into its spiritual form.
Well, and the space surrounding you shall appear to you blue in color. The matrix of space shall appear to you now. The matrix of space is the guide who is in reality, the element of space, the realm in which all phenomena arise. 11. And you shall look around and recognize the transit world. The world of matter will be all in an uproar, and the apparitions and phenomena you shall now see before you shall all be individual appearances, primary elements of consciousness. They shall be called the guides.
And it has come to pass that you have remained in a fainting swoon for the past 4 days. And now that you have recovered from this swoon, you will realize what has occurred.
Nine. These are the instructions for the first day of karmic apparitions caused by the breaking up of the phenomenal world into the primal elements of consciousness. Eight. Now the first day of the unfolding of the primal forms of consciousness is reckoned from the time of the passing from the secondary clear light into the dawning of the lucid clarity of consciousness of the fourth or fifth day after the death of the body.
Seven. Daily dangers which you must now meet and overcome during the next 7 days are next explained in detail. Six. And it has come to pass that you shall be compelled to pass through the full realm of transit. This has come about despite all the
Five. These are the instructions for the first to seventh days of the unfolding of the primal forms of consciousness.
Four. But this is not the perfection or the reality of Kudus, the most, most holy. And it is nothing but the idea of man's own perfection projected into the spiritual skies of heaven.
Three. Man tries to understand my reality by giving me his own qualities in a perfected form. Man calls his own qualities knowledge, power, hearing, sight, and speech. Perfections when they are complete. Under the will of the universe.
Two. And this is because man looks to himself and to his own qualities to measure my reality according to his own reality.
One, I am beyond any description, any imagination, any wonder. I am beyond any expansion of consciousness and beyond any depths to which the innermost reveries of consciousness could wander. I am so free from qualities and characteristics that no man can understand or conceive of my reality. This completes this reading of Ul Kudus.
This concludes our presentation on Book 4, and I just want to tell the group that we have had an incredible time with this text, and we hope that we've shared some of that journey with you tonight. Thank you very much.
And thank you, Group 4. You've certainly formed your groupness, and that has come through as a single voice in presenting this to all of us in such a unique way. And in the next few days, we'll have all of the presentation material up, and we appreciate the work that these individuals have done, and we look forward to moving on next week.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
To Book 5. So thank you so much for coming. We look forward to seeing you next Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Good night.
Thank you, everyone. That was outstanding.